Oh, that was something. That's the new Detroit Lions head coach, Dan Campbell, at his introductory press conference yesterday. Because he's relatively unknown. He's been an assistant, played assistant in New Orleans, well thought of. But, you know, for a lot of people, a lot of Lions fans, first time you would have heard from this guy. You want to know what your new head coach is all about. We've been a bad football franchise for so long. And in a roundabout way, I guess maybe I would find it inspiring, but it was kind of odd about chewing off kneecaps.
JR, that's high school football. Are you kidding me? I couldn't believe yesterday people were excited. I'm like, who interviewed this human being and decided he was qualified?
I think it needed a rabies shot. He was foaming at the mouth.
I think he may have threatened to kill the owner unless he hired him. Honestly, I just thought that was so, oh man, it really was. Like, how bad of a franchise can you be? And not, like I said, no, that's high school football right there.
Well, it was interesting. it was an interesting way to say. He's
also got a very large forehead, which is usually a sign of certain things. So,
and he is nicknamed apparently the Dude, and has that on his nameplate at his office. Dan Campbell the Dude. So anyway, Detroit, there's what you're all about. Well, I can tell you one thing: if I want to put together a nice Pico pizza, which has 52 different toppings, kneecaps is not one of them. All right, so Dan Campbell, you can keep your kneecaps. But we're going to update the standings for our Pico Pizza Cup with Duke Ellington in just a second. But I can tell you all about Pico Pizza, which is all about a fresh take on a great pizza. All right. And it all starts with the foundation, which is handmade right in front of you with the dough and the spinning and the air and the pockets there. It's so nice and light and fluffy. And then all the ingredients imported directly from Italy. So you start good, you add good, and you end good. Because no matter what you put on your pizza, they fire it into their 800-degree gas-fired pizza oven. Comes out to you in 90 seconds. Absolutely delicious. So you get like the immediate payoff. If you want to check out Pico Pizza, they are their website. Lots of information on there. pi-co.ca. That's pi-co.ca. All right. You can check them out in the App Store as well. They got lots of deals on, usually through the App Store. So Pico Pizza, 3 Ottawa locations. All right. Without further ado, let us bring into the equation, because it is Friday. We're looking ahead to Championship Sunday. Duke Ellington, our football analyst, not very good picker, but analyst, who joins us this morning. How you doing, Duke?
There is a distinction between those two terms, you know. Anybody can be a prognosticator, but an analyst, that takes some...
Duke, the real smart ones on major television networks never end up telling you what's going to happen,
exactly.
Right? Bob McKenzie steered clear of that years ago. What did you honestly think of that, the Lions press yesterday?
You know what? I heard you talking about it just now, and I thought it was perfect. It harkened back, for those that are old enough to remember the movie, All the Right Moves, with Craig T. Nelson as the head coach and Tom Cruise as the undersized linebacker. I don't know if you guys saw that movie.
Oh, solid movie. Steel Town.
It was a really good movie, actually, but it just reminded me of sort of that mentality of a high school coach who basically tells his kids to go and bite the kneecaps off their opponents. And you're looking for an NFL coach these days in the sophisticated world of football, talking a little bit about X's and O's and how we're going to structure our offense and, you know, what kind of defensive schemes we want to run. And this guy is it was quite something. And it's perfect that it was Detroit.
I'm actually predicting, guys, a higher injury rate on the Lions, because he's one of these guys that'll do 3-a-days, Duke. Nobody will make it through training camp.
There you go. No water. No water.
Oh, God, no.
3 days. Yeah.
Would you have that? Because Philadelphia hired a guy, Nick Sirianni, who is relatively unknown, but apparently had interviewed great, to the point of, and Frank Reich now is the coach. That was his coach in Indy that comes highly recommended to Philly, where Frank Reich was. It's would you ever have any, if you're an owner, if nobody else is interviewing the guys that you are that interview and then you want to hire, is that not a red flag? Are you like, listen, I'm carving my own path here. I'm good to go.
I'm always curious about what happens in those interviews that turns the tables. And in some cases, it works out very well. I remember when Mike Tomlin got interviewed in Pittsburgh, and he was, I think at the time, 32 or 33 years old, and, you know, a real unknown, and you hadn't heard anybody talking about him getting interviews elsewhere. And whatever he did in that interview, the Rooney family just said it was just astounding, and they just said, this is our guy. And, you know, obviously he's had tremendous success, but I agree with you. Sort of in the bigger picture, you want to feel like, hey, is this a guy that's in demand, or are we?
Well, Philly's going the Andy Reid route because he was a quarterback's coach in Green Bay. Yep. No one knew anything about him. They hired him, and the rest, as they say, is history. You would say over the last 20 years, other than Belichick, he is the sure. by far the most successful NFL coach.
Yeah, exactly. And there is a lot of networking that goes on, a lot of conversations, and sometimes these sort of under the radar guys really do become tremendous coaches. So we'll just have to see. I was more curious what you thought as an Eagles fan, because
I don't know anything about him.
There was Daniels, and there was others that were mentioned, and now you just you get a total unknown.
I didn't want Josh McDaniels only because I don't need anything with the Patriot stink on it. I just don't want that. And we don't need another visor-wearing coach. Okay, that was the other thing.
Oh, so, that's right. Yeah. Are you worried, JR, when do you think people turned it down? And was it the Oklahoma coach that they wanted to hire but said no?
They wanted to hire him, but he's got too good. I think they think in Oklahoma they can win the national championship this year. Okay, so good. I think he'll go pro at some point, but just wasn't ready yet. Yeah. I don't think anybody else turned them down. They were late to the party, right? Okay. Yeah. A lot of the other guys that everybody was in on were already hired. So anyway, we'll see how it works. But nobody's here to talk about a bad football team. We're here to talk about the championship games coming up on Sunday. It is time to pick. All right, so let's get an update on our pizza. Pico Pizza Cup standings as we head into, there's only three games left. Like, are you and Duke so far behind Hammer that you even have a chance to catch Simmer and I, who are battling it out for first?
Well, with points going up to five for this Sunday,
it's five?
It really gives us a great opportunity, right, Duke?
I think so. I thought it was 10, but okay, five.
Yeah, no, it's five, not 10. Come on. That's
honestly, how many points we're picking straight up and against the spread?
Well, it should be five, but I guess it's three because it's the third round of the NFL playoffs.
So 12 points total, right?
12 points up for grabs.
Yep. JR right now with the lead with 24 after the correction of last week that sent Simmer down to 23.
Close.
You both copied each other last week, so big surprise there.
If I end up losing this, that Frogger guy, I'm having the Lions coach go visit him at his house.
Duke is in third place with 16, and I'm trailing everybody with 14. Okay. But I was going for it last weekend.
All right. So the way we've decided to do this is I will go first because it would be easy for me to just do what everybody else does, and then
play
I couldn't lose my lead, right?
Yeah.
So I will go first. The rest of you guys have all already made your picks, and you've given them the Hammer.
Yep.
All right, so the picks have been made ahead of time, so there's no shenanigans at play here.
And I made my picks before looking at Duke's and Simmer's picks.
Okay, so we're all up to date. We're all up to speed. There's no shenanigans going on here as we battle it out for the Pico Pizza Cup.
Break it down.
Quick update. Here we go. Patrick Mahomes looks like he's on track to play on Sunday. He's been doing two straight practices. Now he's not cleared yet, but on track. And Andy Reid said he looked, quote, good out there, feels good. And also, this is important as well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs running back, has also practiced the last 2 days, as has Sammy Watkins, one of the receivers. Okay. So it looks like they're getting healthy as well. All right, so that is game number one. It comes up on Sunday afternoon. It is the 3 o'clock kickoff. Sorry, not that one. The Bucs and Packers. That's where we're going to start. So Tampa Bay beat Green Bay 38-10 when they played head-to-head in mid-October. Tom Brady in that game threw for just 166 yards and two touchdowns, but Ronald Jones ran for 113. Aaron Rodgers threw two interceptions in that game, his only multi-interception game this season. He also threw a pick six for just the third time in his career. So in other words, that was a very rare off night for Aaron Rodgers. This is also a matchup, as we know, of the combined two oldest coaching or quarterback matchup of all time, two leading touchdown tossers of this year in Rodgers and Brady, et cetera, et cetera. Weather looks like for Green Bay, pretty decent. Temperatures in the 20s. Any snow will likely occur in the morning, so it should be a decent track. All right, with all that being said, the spread, Hammer, in this game is?
Is the Packers favored by 3.5.
3.5 at home, taking on the six-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady.
And
man, you pick against Tom Brady in this situation. I think the Green Bay Packers are playing the best football of any team right now. I like the Green Bay Packers to win this game straight up, and I will also take the Green Bay Packers to cover the 3.5 points in that game. I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be relatively close, but I will take the Packers at home. All right, Simmer. And Hammer's got a copy what you did.
Oh, I know.
No switchy.
No, you know what? I really want the Bucks and the Bills, and part of me can rationalize why it'll happen, and certainly impressed last time around, but I agree with you, Jer. And I took Green Bay and took the points as well.
Okay, all right. So you'll remain behind me at least through the first game on Sunday. Yeah. All right, Duke, where did you go?
Well, a couple things I'd like to say here. One is that I tried to suggest that since, if you go back to the beginning of the season when we did our playoff picks and our division winners, et cetera, that both you and Simmer had the Packers missing the playoffs entirely. and here they are in the conference final. I suggested you should be docked points for that in this pool.
We were wrapped up in the quarterback being taken the first round. Right?
But with that said, I did pick Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl this year, if you recall. Mm-hmm. And so I can't go away from that now, even though my head says exactly what JR just kind of intimated, is that I think Green Bay's too good. And if Rodgers plays a typical Rodgers game, I don't think there's enough there for Tampa Bay to win. But I'm going to pick the Bucs to win because I did pick them at the beginning of the season.
Wow.
And I got them, obviously, to cover as well.
Okay, so there's a possible six-point swing right there. All right, Hammer.
I went the same direction as Duke. The Packers have not trailed a lot this season. And when they did in Tampa Bay, Rodgers threw some picks. And he got dancing, and he couldn't move that. The pressure was on the Packers. And I think the same thing is going to happen. The Bucs are going to take an early lead, and then all the pressure, they're going to feel it in Packerland, and the Bucs will complete the upset.
Wow.
And go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Bucs plus 3.5.
Has anybody actually seen your picks, by the way? You said that
not at all. So no. You got to just trust me.
All right, you're
trust
in
me. Trust me.
You're in last. All right. So you guys both have Tampa Bay winning the game straight up and obviously getting the points. And Simmer, the two leaders, you and I, Simmer.
Yeah.
We got the Packers. All right. Game two, 6:40 kickoff. Bills and Chiefs. These two teams also met. In fact, in the same week that Tampa Bay and Green Bay played in week six, Kansas City won the game in Buffalo by a score of 26-17. That game was actually won on the run, believe it or not. Not a Patrick Mahomes win, but the Chiefs ran for 250 yards in that game, including 169 by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's why I noted his return to the lineup potentially. And for Josh Allen, one of his worst performances of the season, he had only 122 yards passing, and he ran for just 42 yards. Stephon Diggs, 6 catches for 46 yards. So he was kept relatively in check as well. The Chiefs finished the regular season with the most yards gained in the league, and the Bills were second. This is very rare where you've got the two best offenses in the NFL going head-to-head in a championship game. It's only happened 6 times previously. Bills and Josh Allen have won their last 8 in a row. The Chiefs have won 11 in a row. So we got two red-hot teams. The weather looks even better in Kansas City than Green Bay. Temperatures in the high 30s and even a chance of rain, believe it or not, on Sunday night in Kansas City. All right, all that being said, I love the story of the Buffalo Bills this season. I think the Kansas City Chiefs have been wobbling for most of the year. And so I am actually going to go with Kansas City to lose this game. I'm going to pick the Buffalo Bills in an upset to go into Kansas City and win the game, and so I obviously am grabbing the points there. And that's 3.5, right? Sorry, I didn't ask that.
3.5, yes, you got
3.5.
It.
3.5. I'm taking the Bills in the upset on Sunday night. Simmer.
Just felt my Ferrari slide into first place. I took Kansas City in the points. I would love to see the Bills and the Bucks in a Super Bowl, but at home, all the weapons there. Mahomes, only worry was probably more the toe than the head guys. But as I said, I actually like all four of these teams, but I still think the two home teams. So I'm taking the Chiefs and the points.
Okay, Mr. Front Runner taking the front runners. All right, Duke, what do you got?
Well, you know what? I was kind of hoping, JR, that you'd go the other way, too, because as Hammer can attest, I did also take Buffalo to win in an upset. I think that, you know, Kansas City, despite that 11-game winning streak, 8 of them in the last 8 games have all been by one score. And in the NFL, that means that everything that had to go right down the stretch went right for you, because there's a thin line in this league between winning and losing. And we look back last week, and there could have been any number of a couple of plays that had gone the other way, and they wouldn't be playing in this game. So I just think their luck is going to run out. Buffalo has won whatever number of games they've won now by double digits. I just feel like they're primed, and they're not afraid, and they handled Kansas City quite well in that regular season game and didn't give up a lot of big plays. I think they're going to win the game outright. I think you're right, Kansas City's wobbling is going to finally come back to bite them.
And how about this? I'll even go further. I'll say that Buffalo will win by 1 point and it'll be on a Harrison Butker missed extra point. That guy, how many extra points he missed this year? 7?
He has been shaky.
Yeah, very. Okay,
you're not getting extra points for that. That was a fantastic breakdown, Duke, and I completely agree with you. The Bills' one loss since that loss to Kansas City was on a Hail Mary in Arizona.
Hail Murray.
Hail Mary. Oh, yeah.
Hail Mary. Get it right.
That's it. Yep. And they have dominated in so many of those games down the stretch. Man, no crowd, well, a little bit of a crowd, but not as large and not as impactful as the Kansas City Chiefs are used to. I like the Bills in that upset, plus 3.5.
Simmer, you're on an island, buddy.
Yeah, but didn't Duke also say 2 games ago Buffalo shouldn't have won and shouldn't have moved forward at home, right?
Very true.
I don't recall that at all.
All right, well, okay, so that's weird that in all cases, whoever we take to win the game, well, obviously with the underdog, the points don't matter, but nobody's – would have been easy for me to kind of split the middle there a little bit as the leader.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm giving you guys an opening because that's the good guy that I am.
Are you patting yourself on
the
back?
Yes, I am, as a matter
of
fact.
For your picks?
Duke, what is your – now, how do you watch the games these days? Obviously, you can't have a whole gang of guys over. Is it just you, your wife?
Yeah, I'm probably mentioned this before. I don't like – I wouldn't want to watch games with multiple people regardless. So, yeah, it's just pretty much me and the big screen locked in.
Hey, fellas, let's get on a Zoom together and let's watch these games.
No, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Duke, enjoy the games. We'll go over it all with you again on Monday morning. Thanks for the time.
Looking forward to that, guys. Take care.
All right. There's Duke Ellington joining us. On the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, make Gabriel Pizza your big game headquarters. Order online at GabrielPizza.com.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like, JR, and kind of going through the picks, man. I just see scenarios either way, right? I mean, no shocker if the Bills win, no shocker if the Bucks win. I think the home teams will, but that's what makes the NFL such a great thing and such a great draw. I mean, and who doesn't want to watch both of those games?
That I agree with. It should be. I just don't see a scenario where either any of the four teams gets blown out. Like, I think they all have, you know, and it starts with the quarterback, right? They all have quarterbacks that are playing at an elite level right now.
For sure.
So I just don't see anybody blowing up bad enough where their game is going to be a blow. And I also look at this, no matter what happens on Sunday, I think we're going to have a good Super Bowl. Like, it lines itself up that whoever the two survivors are, it should be a good game down in Tampa.
Duke and I were talking about it, and if our picks come true, could you imagine the Bills getting back to the Super Bowl and taking on Tom Brady, their nemesis, for their first Super Bowl title, and they got to go through Tom Brady?
But of the four that they lost in a row, JR, of course, the famous one is to the Giants. Did they lose one to Green Bay?
No. Okay. Two to Dallas and one to Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was all NFC East teams that took them down.
Okay.
All right, a little past 9:30. Your thoughts on what you're hoping to see on Sunday, always welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. And again, full coverage of the championship games here on the home of the NFL, TSN 1200. Pre-game show starts at 2 on Sunday. We'll take you through both games with kickoff for the Bucks and the Packers at 3. All right, we'll take a break. Come back a little more on the Sens as they get set to hit the road. This day in sports history, some sports and hockey birthdays as well. Coming up on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 941. Couple of texts have come in. 12-1200. When you do Texas, standard messaging rates apply. Did the Detroit Lions just hire the Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail as their new head coach? That's from Big Wrench Rob.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
Just a flesh wound.
It could be. Everyone interprets it differently, JR. As I said, assumption is training camp, multiple injuries. One of those guys, they'll never, ever be a day off. I mean, it just was. That just sounded absolutely barbaric yesterday.
No days off!
Thank you, Hoodie. Pierre says, hi, guys. I'd like to throw a wrench at JR for making it sound like he lost out on the girls he wanted and settled for his wife. You might want to end up with an earful if you continue. That was high school days. I met my wife long after high school. She was 19. I was 21.
Oh, nice.
All good.
But that's a big difference, though. Hey,
I'll take your wrench.
Yeah.
Coach, how do you assess kickers other than making kicks?
Let's see here. AJ says, Pierre Dorion has to be held accountable. Why would Ottawa sign Dadonoff over to Foley? Give him term and money. This team needs to wake up. That's from AJ.
You know what, AJ? I think they wanted to try and sign Toffoli, and then that didn't happen. They turned around and signed Dadonoff. And got to admit, at the time, JR, I thought, hey, from what I saw in Florida, this is a terrific signing. Also say very early. Also say, in the case of Stepan, doesn't have a whole lot to play with. So, we'll see where this ends up going. But like I said, they got to find a center for he and Stutzle, or at some point put Stutzle in the middle and find a winger for the two.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger point, right? I don't think we're going to see the best of what this guy has to offer until he You know, he's had two. Did he play? Did Stützle play both games with him? I'm trying to think back now. It's only a week and a month.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, because Galchenyuk was out of the lineup, so Stepan was between. I mean, you would look. I'll take this a step further of all the things. I want to see Logan Brown, the American League, and dominate JR. But let's be quite honest here. For what Stepan has done, if I said, "What are you going to do as far as trying to put somebody?" I mean, I'm putting Logan Brown in between Dadanov and Stützle and giving it a go before riding it the rest of the year with a fourth line center.
Karen writes, my first ever wrench is for the armchair general managers claiming Pierre Dorion could have easily signed Toffoli if he wanted to. That's from Karen. Yeah, and that's the part we don't know, right? Pierre Dorion, for all we know, could have given the money. And as I discussed yesterday, he got the extra year in Montreal, and that may have been the difference at the end of the day. He got 4 years in Montreal, and maybe Ottawa's, you know, they only went three with Dadanov, and maybe they said, whoever it is that we're going to sign, we want to sign a scoring winger. But we don't want to go beyond 3 years.
Yeah, and am I correct in the timing, JR, that I thought the spacing of them working on Toffoli, this took a couple of weeks before he signed it, did it not?
Yeah, he wasn't a right away. Yeah, I don't know if that long. But
and
it was,
at least I thought the story had come out that, you know, Ottawa was right there, like, you know, trying hard to get it done, and then you sat there. And this is where I'll also, and kind of watching just early on, but yeah, you would say if you're the Hoffman camp, if I'm only looking at the on-ice portion of what's going on, you know, how the heck did Dadanov end up getting a three-year contract? And I'm settling for a one-year at $4 million. But
Karen,
maybe the off-ice stuff had an effect.
Karen, I hope throwing that wrench was cathartic for you, made you feel good. Continue to throw your wrenches every Friday. That's why we're here for you. Tim writes, at what point is the value of the so-called asset outweighed by the bad in the room? If Pierre-Luc Dubois is the problem, get him gone. Cheers. That comes from Tim.
Tim, these things are, to know the absolute dynamic of what's happened within the locker room, why this is, I think I've arrived at a point where the player denied it, but I'm thinking that this is flat out, you know, disagreement. He doesn't like the coach, and I'm not saying the coach doesn't like him, but that's why he arrived at this point. But how the locker room views it and everything else is just pure speculation.
Dubois and his body language and the bench last night was brutal. I understand people like to go after torts, but if that is not a window into this kid's attitude, I'm not sure what is. Real good teammate they've got there. That comes from Unsigned. Unsigned as well. Oh, sorry, Homer Hugh. Dorion needs to have a chat with DJ instead of supporting him 110%. This is getting ridiculous. That comes from Homer Hugh. That dates back to the first hour. We spent a lot of time on not only just who was playing and not playing as far as dressing, but then when the game was actually on, player usage as the game went on as well. We spent a lot of time on that. And Pierre Dorion, in all his comments since DJ Smith has been hired, and he doubled down on it right before the season, saying this, you know, he's 110%. He still feels great about the hiring of DJ Smith. And by the way, you should say, and, you know, I've been, and you've been, you know, fairly critical of especially of last night, of the coach. It's not to say I think he's a terrible coach and should be fired or whatever. I think you put it right.
Yeah.
I think the coach is learning it along with the team. Like, he's a young NHL coach as
Absolutely
well.
Absolutely is.
And it's easy for me to be the Monday morning quarterback every morning when they come in, and there's a stinker game last night for sure.
But I
think, like, veteran coaches have off games as well. I thought last night was just an off game.
Yeah. I agree with you. And that is also, and kind of going through, as you said, Jared, that's where, and when people say about, hey, you gotta trust the process, hey, everybody needs help. And as a second-year head coach, and I know he had time in Toronto, he's running the defense. He's not part of the management group there. And then he was a junior hockey coach. As far as an actual rebuild and this idea that he has all the answers, he doesn't. He's got to be managed. And also, and again, this is a critique on Pierre Dorion, going back to Boucher and now a trend here, is bringing over, I've not been overly impressed with Austin Watson. He's just been okay. It's a three-year contract. Now, Paquette and Coburn come in. I don't know whose call that is, but when I look at this big picture, none of the three are a real need and a step on when you already have a Anisimov. To me, you're doubling down on that. Like I said, you don't go into the office and tell him exactly who to play. You can certainly lead him to a point, or you can start quite simply with the Anisimovs and guys like that, just start waving them so they're not available to the coach.
Michael writes, a wrench to everybody, not giving the Bills any credit for their season or giving them a chance to win on Sunday. Go Bills. That's from Michael.
Oh.
Is there anybody out there who's not been effusive in their praise of the Buffalo Bills? And is anybody going, oh, Kansas City's going to win this in the – like, okay, Michael, listen, I understand. You're proud of your team or whatever, but don't have rabbit ears. Let's not be ridiculous about this.
Yeah.
I haven't heard one person who says, ah, the Bills stink, man. They're lucky to be here. The Bills are getting tons of credit and rightfully should.
Yeah.
Come on.
But we're also, hey, we're just also after last year and falling behind in all their playoffs game, recognizing that, hey, Kansas City, and I don't care if there's a crowd or not, Jer, going on the road's a tough out. What you do say, though, and I think is nice for Bills fans, you look at kind of a few years ago and you had Bradford, you had Allen, you had Trubisky. We've certainly focused on Deshaun Watson, Mahomes. At least to me, you've come to the other side, Jer, where you have a quarterback, right? Like if the most important thing is you have some good years and you get on a bit of a run as a team, you at least look at this and say, man, we are in a real good spot here as an organization. That would be the best part about being a Bills fan. And to the Aaron Rodgers conversation, I agree on not winning or they should have won more Super Bowls, Jer. But the one thing you want as a fan, you go into every year thinking you got a chance to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of the ask, right? Where, you know, there's lots of franchise, lots of teams, and, you know, they know when the season starts. I mean, you know next year's going to be kind of a write-off for your Eagles, right? Like, I expect that for my Patriots. I mean, I don't expect, you know, hey, but for Buffalo right now, you're kind of like, okay, this feels pretty good, and we should be able to enjoy it for a few years.
We write this down, please, the hammer, that Simmer just used the words, my Patriots for next season, all right? He is locked in.
That's in pen.
To quote his Patriots. Jonathan, one final one. We'll get to this day in sports history. Good morning, guys. Do you think the fact that management has rotated coaches so often in the last decade, the new coaches come in, such as Boucher and DJ, on short-term deals, they feel they need to win to stay? They play the guys they think will create results instead of growing with the youth. That's from Jonathan.
Jonathan, this would be more if you ask within the coaching fraternity. And quite simply, if you're DJ Smith and you're well-connected, if you've ever talked to Paul McClain, to Guy Boucher, and to Mr. Cameron, how they would feel, JR. Oh, absolutely. And no matter, and again, I think Pierre Dorion, first with Boucher and now with Smith, has all, you know, his heart is in at best interest supporting him. But at the end of the day, a lot of that times, I'm assuming on the coaches, and we go back to Dave Cameron and the whole starting goalie thing, hey, that a lot of sports franchises, that's not the general manager's call, that's the ownership. So would you be nervous based on the past, the way this has been handled in Ottawa? Absolutely.
And this last one from Fred, a wrench to Sens fans who are panicking with early losses. This team isn't supposed to be good. This season is a write-off while letting the kids learn and become better pros. More losses on the way. So get ready. That comes from Fred.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
There you go. All right, let's get to this day in sports history, shall we? For this January the 22nd, and was on this day in 1968, they played the first ever hockey game at the Ottawa Civic Center. Crowd of 10,552 filed in to see the Montreal Junior Canadiens beat the 67s by a score of 5-2. Take a wild guess, Simmer, as to how much you think the Civic Center cost to build in 19... Well, it finished in 68.
1968, $3.5
million. $8.5
million. Oh, wow, okay,
okay.
Okay,
all right, there we
no,
go.
No, I didn't. Yeah, just trying, throwing it out.
On this day in 1984, Super Bowl 18, the L.A. Raiders beat the Washington, as they were then known, Redskins.
Okay.
By a score of 38-9. The MVP in the game was Marcus Allen.
Okay.
So there you go. That was Joe Theismann threw a pick six
at
like his own 10-yard line to a fellow by the name of Jack Squire.
Okay. Do we have a little Jim Plunkett action? Would he be in the QB?
Plunkett beat the Eagles.
Was it the gambler?
Yeah. Trying to think
down. Was it Kenny Stabler?
No, he would have been gone by then.
Okay.
Plunkett did the one in the early 80s.
Okay.
No, it's a good question. Yeah. And Marcus Allen ran for like 175 yards.
He was fun to watch. Him and Eric Dickerson.
On this day in 1987, the New Jersey Devils beat the Calgary Flames 7-5 at the Brendan Byrne Arena, in front of 334 fans who braved a winter storm to get to the rink. Now, the Flames stayed right next door. They had no issue getting to the arena. The Devils players took so long to get there. The game was delayed by 2 hours. I'm not sure exactly why they needed to go ahead, but they did.
Yeah.
A crowd of 11,000 was expected.
Okay.
334 actual bodies in the stands, to the point now where the Devils later... honored the diehard fans who showed up by forming the 334 Club.
Oh, wow.
That happened on this day in 1987.
Lou being so generous, wondering and handing out. And also, strange, JR, I can't remember there being a hotel there. So you stayed
You said nearby.
Okay, you stayed in Secaucus. No, but I know. But, you know, like New York Islanders, you've got the Marriott right there. Mm. But you're right. Secaucus wouldn't be that far away.
And on this day in 1989, Super Bowl 23, San Francisco beat Cincinnati 20-16. Jerry Rice was the MVP. I believe that's the game in which Montana drove them down the field in the final few minutes, and then with a half minute to go, maybe, through the pass to John Taylor for the game-winning touchdown. And after the game, and after his winning his third Super Bowl, Bill Walsh announced his retirement as the head coach of the 49ers.
Had they played the Bengals in another Super Bowl, Jared?
Yeah, in the early 80s.
And that was a crazy blowout, right? With Sam Weish, and I think Boomer was a coach. And the
Nope. They won that one. If I remember, there was a goal line stand.
Okay.
Cincinnati lost a couple of close ones. I think it was 24-21. They had four cracks from the one-yard line and couldn't score.
Yeah, is that another one of the case where the fella couldn't find his helmet to start the game?
That was the Super Bowl. That was Stanley Wilson.
Oh, okay.
And that was, I believe, another Super Bowl. Were Cincinnati in that many Super Bowls?
No, I don't know. But
There was Robbins disappeared. Yeah. That was the Raiders.
That was the one where the night before something went a little bit sideways.
And, well, he was bipolar, right?
Got
off his medication.
Okay.
Anyway, on this day in 1995, the Sens tied the Islanders 3-3. First NHL game for Radek Bonk on this day. Out of the Bettman lockout number one.
Yeah, watch him back in the day playing for the Vegas team, and that was pretty neat for guys to come over. Bob Strom and Chris McSorley brought over a bunch and played for the Vegas Thunder. Can only imagine coming from the Czech Republic at that age, JR, and as a 17-year-old living in Vegas. Hey?
Oh, dear. On this day in 1999, Ron Tugnutt, the Ottawa Senators, was named to the North American team for the NHL All-Star Game. Tugger.
Yeah, that's
back
awesome.
Back in 1999.
Yeah, because we had had him bottoming out before that with Barry Trotz, I think, 97, playing in the American Hockey League. And then Ottawa signed him, and boy, he really resurrected his career here in Ottawa.
On this day in 2003, after six seasons in Minnesota, in which he did relatively not much, the Boston Red Sox signed a free agent by the name of David Ortiz. And the rest, as they say, is history, as Big Poppy would lead the Red Sox to three World Series wins.
Yeah, him and Manny's got on a specialized diet there, and all of a sudden the ball's leaving the park.
Specialized diet, yes.
And he's bulletproof.
On this day in 2004, the Blackhawks beat the Avalanche 7-0. That was the first NHL win and shutout for Craig Anderson.
Oh, wow.
On this day in 2004.
Yeah, and first NHL win at that point, eh?
Yep. Okay. All right, on this day in 2006, we all remember this one. This is one of those moments. The Los Angeles Lakers were taking on the Toronto Raptors in a game. I believe it was a Sunday night in Los Angeles. Most of us woke up the next morning to hear that Kobe did this.
Kobe Bryant, 28 for 46 from the field. This would be 18 for 20 from the line and an 81-point game. 55 in the second half.
You got to get him out of the game. Somebody got to fly.
Oh, it is out of
bounds. Get ball. There it is.
Here we go. And Kobe will be replaced. And listen to this crowd for number 8, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant hits for 81 points, the second greatest scoring night in NBA history after Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point night. And, of course, that all came in a win over the Raptors on this day 15 years ago.
Wow. And Wilt Chamberlain, I said many times, Hershey, Pennsylvania was where that game was played. I was actually surprised. I thought you were going to say another couple of guys that had got 80 points. So Jordan was never Jordan into the 70s? Or
He had a 73,
did he?
I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say. But, Wilt had a 78. But Kobe's 81 was the second most of all time. And, of course, I believe, if memory serves, I believe this, not this weekend, but next weekend, would mark 1 year since the helicopter crash with Kobe, right? Because that was in the weekend between this, the off week for the Super Bowl, I remember, on that Sunday morning.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Isn't that incredible? That's been a whole year, Jared. Yeah.
And Michael Jordan's terrible. He only had a career high in a game of 69 points.
60. He never got to 70?
Didn't even get to 70. Yeah.
Brutal.
Shot 70 shots.
On this day in 2020, 1 year ago, Zion Williamson made his highly anticipated NBA debut, had 17 points over 3 minutes in the fourth quarter for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, and all the more dunks. Would you say less than expected so far?
I think it's been good, but I don't know that the hype was ever going to match, right?
Well,
it was a perfect storm of playing for Duke, and they had a great team, and he's a unique talent.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
and not to say he's not going to be a real special player, but it always appeared to be a little bit of overhype.
Well, a lot of question though, JR, of his body type, right, and whether he could resist injury. Is he too heavy? And of course, there was that famous game I think against North Carolina. I had tuned in. Obama is there. He ends up blowing the sneaker. Ends up hurting himself. The other thing that's be interesting to watch, guys, not that I've watched a ton of Knicks, if you get an opportunity, the RJ Barrett's off to a really nice start. And has he ever changed his whole body type and physique, where you do wonder long term now, going into that year he was supposed to be the number one pick, I think he might end up being the better player.
Right. Hockey birthdays on board on this day. Our friend Sean Donovan, the former 67 and Ottawa Senator, is celebrating his 46th birthday today. And of course, now player development coach with the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, funny. First met him in Sault Ste. Marie, JR. One of the families that was building one of our players he was friendly with. Probably would have been 14 or 15. And years later, real nice career and obviously a great guy.
Also celebrating birthday today, he's born in Ottawa. Ben Eager is 37, won a Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks, and actually brought the cup, his one day with the cup here to Ottawa. I think that was the 2013 one, the one they beat the Bruins in.
Yeah, no, ended up having a nice career. I think he owns a rink out in Chicago now and ends up doing a whole lot of work there.
Both turning 25 today are Josh Hosang and Robbie Fabry. And wow. Robbie Fabry's had a lot of injuries, but maybe has carved himself out a little bit of a spot in Detroit. And Josh Hosang just continues to be, I don't know what's going on with that.
Well,
guy.
Last year he requested a trade, then Lou never called him back. So he showed back up for training camp this year and then got waived. So for whatever talent people thought was there, nobody was going to touch that guy.
Serge Savard is 75 years old today.
Wow.
7 Stanley Cups with the Montreal Canadiens in the 60s and 70s. He actually won the Conn Smythe Trophy in just his second year in the league.
Okay.
In 1969. I believe that was the year Montreal would have beat St. Louis in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, and then end of career finish off with the Winnipeg Jets, right?
Yeah.
And my buddy Tom Watt coached him. And
then the horses
said,
and then the cigars.
Yeah, no, and they ended up buying the Marriott Hotel, the Chateau Champlain, with a group. So he's done very well for himself. And Tommy would say that, first of all, incredible hockey IQ. But when you come down to the lobby in the morning, he was reading the Wall Street Journal. He was way ahead of the game that way.
And last but certainly not least, and I didn't really wonder why this guy wore his number, but now I see on this January the 22nd, it all makes sense that Mike Bossy, celebrating his 64th birthday today, of course, the legendary number 22 for the New York Islanders. 573 goals in 752 games.
Incredible.
And now I know the game is different today than it was back then, but he played 9 full seasons in the NHL and had at least 50 goals in all 9 of those seasons, and in 5 of the 9 had 60 goals.
Wow.
And even in his final year, in which he had the back injury, and which eventually forced his early retirement, he still had 38 goals in 63 games. Like an incredible, just a goal-scoring machine.
And along with Denny Potvin and all those guys, just an absolute class act. And a quote from last year that I'm assuming new Islanders coach Barry Trotz wanted back, when he mentioned Alexander Ovechkin was the greatest goal scorer of all time. The Islander fan base was quick to ring in. So I just remember a little bit as a kid, it felt like, based on the bad goalie equipment back in the day, when he had a breakaway, JR, the goalie knew there was no chance.
It just looks so easy.
Oh, it really did.
Yeah. And he
absolutely effortless, the release, eh?
Yeah, and that was the thing. And Brett Hull, to me, was kind of the same. Their ability to find the soft spots and just go to the places where the puck always eventually ended up, and just shot it so fast.
Yeah.
It was not that he had the hardest shot. It wasn't perfect placement. It was just like on a stick and off.
Yeah,
and
very much
net,
so.
Yeah. Before you tendies could square up.
Exactly.
And with your tiny little equipment.